Welcome to another session of The Porch. I'm Richard Grund. Tonight we're going to take an in-depth look at Psalm 91 in a lesson called Position. Right now we're broadcasting live from the Firefall studio here on Firefall Talk Radio on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com/user/Firefall. Talk Radio, all one word. Go there. You can download the app. You can tap the star icon to favorite the show, or if you like a particular episode, you can tap the heart icon. You'll find two shows there, The Porch and Reflections in the Dark, which we air every Saturday night at 7 p.m. live. And then you can find the archived recordings of both shows here on Spreaker.com and also on the old Blog Talk Radio account. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, looking at the Book of Acts Church as our model, seeing how they did things so that we can follow the example and serve the Lord and shake the world one last time before the return of the King. Hopefully you're along for the ride and you've been working and praying and studying and reading and participating in the effort to restore the priesthood of the believer. The only place you're going to find that is in the Word, and the only place you're going to find that is with an uncompromised, non-watered-down Word that promotes the fact that the church age is in effect. The day of Pentecost is ongoing. The gifts and the fruit of the Spirit are in full effect, and they are available to you. If you want to support what we do, go to FirefallTalkRadio.com, and you can find a way to do that. You can also reach out to us there and also at onsolomonsporch.org. If you are interested in prophecy and the paranormal and the supernatural, the beaconsglare.wordpress.com, that's the blog for SRT, is back up and running. I posted one recently about the hysteria, I called it hysterical hysteria, about the arch, the 3D replica arch that has gone up in London and New York. And read it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. America's under attack, folks, and I talked about that Sunday night on Reflections in the Dark on an episode called Dangerous Times. Listen to it if you dare. Praise Reports, Prayer Request is how we start out the show. That's how we ride here on the porch, and I start out with the praise of the Lord from the bottom of my heart. I love Him with every ounce of my being, and I thank Him. I thank Him for everything I have, my home, my wife, my sons, my daughter-in-law, my family, my pets, my possessions, this ministry. I praise Him for you. I thank Him for even considering me and sharing His thoughts and desires and letting me in on what's going on. I am thankful that He uses me. I truly am. And I'm excited about the days ahead. And all of those things are also prayer requests. I praise Him for the favor and the provisions that are coming, for the dreams and the visions He's inspired. And I want you to pray about that. Those dreams and visions have been expanding and growing over the last couple of days. And the bigger picture of shaking the world and exposing the enemy and pulling down strongholds and kicking down the gates has become clearer than ever before. We've talked about taking the show on the road, and actually we're looking at viable, tangible ways to do that so that we can roll into town, spend some time with you, do what the Lord sends us to do, do some Bible study, maybe some witnessing and prayer, and maybe get together for praise and whatever He wants to do, but that takes provision, folks, so let's pray it through. We have prayed for a benefactor, has not appeared as yet, but I know that that person is out there. God has blessed a lot of people beyond anything we could think or imagine, and all we're saying is just write the check. It's not a big check. And keep that in prayer and keep me and my family and the ministry and the team members in prayer, because the enemy has picked up on the breakthroughs that are coming and a lot of weird things have been going on. But we'll talk about that in the lesson tonight. It really doesn't matter. We're under the shadow of His wings. We have His protection. About a year ago, I asked you to pray for a friend of mine from the entertainment industry. Her name is Iva, I-V-A. At that point, she was living out in Los Angeles, California. I've known her for about 10 years or more, and they had discovered a brain tumor. Well, Iva went into the hospital, into emergency, and then she went into rehab, and finally they moved her home to Fresno, California to take care of her. Lost contact with her, lost contact with anybody that could fill me in. I finally connected with a member of her family, and Iva's not doing well. She is still with us, so that means that there can be a miracle. The brain tumor has pretty much taken her cognitive abilities. She stares off into the darkness. She really doesn't remember anybody. She has moments of being lucid. But you know what, folks? I am believing for a miracle, and I want you to start targeting her in prayer. I want you to start targeting that brain tumor. Tell it to wither and die. I know that Iva's still in that body. The person that she is, the one that loves Yeshua, the one that believes that he's Messiah and he's her Messiah, she's still in there. And I've been praying for her to cry out to him from inside that shell and for her to come back, for her to be healed, and to be a tremendous testimony to the healing power of the name of the Lord, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Stuart in Africa, you remember he has periodically sent stuff in. He sent me an email yesterday. He says, I don't know if you remember, but I got baptized with my grandmother, and I do. He sent me pictures of it. Apparently, she died somewhere Sunday night, Monday morning, and Stuart came across her body. He said, I'm a wreck. She was like my own mother, and I'm so distraught. It was such a shock, and there was nothing wrong with her. He said, I meant to visit her on Sunday night, meant to call, and for the first time, I hadn't seen her for longer than a week. I'm sending you because I want you to know. She listened to your show and was so happy. I told her about you, played some of your shows when we had our time together. And the prayer request he offered is actually for the Lord to send a message to his father to ease his broken heart. But we pray for you, Stuart, and your family, and pray that the Lord would answer that prayer and that this would become a time of ministry and salvation for all your family members who are not. And know this, that when it comes your time and you step over, she'll be there and you will see her again. Kim in Fort Mitchell wrote, good morning, Richard. I am thankful for the Lord to wake me up sober another day. I can hear him speak to me in such a clear way without a foggy mind. I can't put into words how grateful I am for Jesus. My children, my family, my dog, the wonderful and loving people I have connected with for this ministry, my job, and everything he provides for me and for his unconditional love. My prayers go out to my friend Stacy lives across the street from her, the other member of the Fort Mitchell crew. Please heal her body, her spirit, and her soul. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, Stacy gave a praise report about being pregnant again. She had miscarriage. Well, apparently she has miscarriage again, and she was in the ER today. I don't know for sure, but that's what I'm being told. So Kim has asked for prayer for her. She also needs prayers for her dog, Bruno. He has been diagnosed with a tumor above his hip, and it needs to be removed before it spreads. She's been told that the removal is over $600, and she's asking for prayers for a way to pay this or to guide them to a vet that they can afford. She says, I'm praying for my unborn child to grow healthy and strong. I pray for protection over my children in this dark and evil world. Surround them with your angels and let them be a light and shine. So praying for her husband, praying for this ministry, for divine protection over our families and pets. And she says, I'm praying for God's children to wake up and start fighting the right battle instead of fighting each other. In Jesus' holy name, I pray this from the bottom of my heart. Any vets that are out there listening, if you want to help Kim in Fort Mitchell, you let me know. Reach out to me via firefalltalkradio.com, onsolomonsporch.org. Or if you know of anybody, if maybe you just want to help out, We need to take care of one another. Father, I come to you now. My heart hurts for your children. But I know that you know. So we ask that you touch them, that you heal them, that you speak to them, that you guard them and guide them. Some people have to make tough decisions in their life, Lord, and they need your help. Holy Spirit, they need you through the word, through the whisper, through divine intervention to show them what to do next. They need comfort that only you can give, the peace that surpasses all understanding. We live in a fallen world, but we know that we're hidden under the shadow of your wings. We ask for that, Lord. We ask for your protection. So we right now, as children, sons, and daughters, we burst through the door of the throne room and we boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify your name. We are thankful to you for your love for us, for your grace that is still amazing. We are thankful for the cross. We are thankful for the empty tomb and the upper room. And we thank you for giving up your son to pay our debt. And Yeshua, we thank you for taking that on yourself. We thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit to guard us and to guide us and to walk with us and teach us. And Lord, we are very, very thankful that you're coming back, that you're going to get us. And we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to praise. We're going to sing and we're going to dance. And we're going to worship you. And then you're going to come back and fix this broken world and put it back to the way it was supposed to be. And we thank you for that. So we clear our minds. We take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah. We claim the mind of Messiah and we cast down every vain imagination that would exalt itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. We submit ourselves right now. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Help us to understand, help us to believe and to receive. And we declare and decree and agree in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 91. If you've read my books, you've heard me speak, you know this is a favorite place for me. And I was reading it the other morning as I always do. I read it first as it's written, then I read it out loud as a prayer over me and my family and my loved ones and my pets and everything I have. As I was reading it, this thought came to mind, and I'll share it with you, but let's read it first. Follow along. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Verses 1 through 13 is you speaking. Verses 14, 15, and 16 is God speaking. This psalm represents the confidence that we have in Almighty God, who provides a shelter for those who take refuge in him. They receive salvation, they receive redemption, life, and the glory of the Lord, who loves and cares for those who seek him, who want to be near him. It's believed that Psalm 90 and 91 were written by Moses at the beginning of the 40 years in the wilderness, and the wanderings are the subject of the fourth book of Psalms. So Psalm 91 was written to comfort the children of Israel in the wilderness while they journeyed through their 40-year curse, a trip, by the way, that should have only taken them months, and to assure the children of God in all ages of his providence while on their earthly pilgrimage. Having a hard time talking English, folks. I've had a heck of a day here with the Lord in this studio. The presence of the Lord has been thick. I spent 2 hours in prayers with one of my fellow members of SRT, Larry. I prayed and talked with somebody else, and it's been one of those days, so buckle up. So if Moses wrote Psalm 91 as believed, even though his name's not on it, then during the temptation in the wilderness between Hasatan, Satan, and the Lord, the scriptures being quoted were written by Moses, which I find interesting, since Hasatan and Michael argued or contended over the body of Moses. Apparently Satan wanted to take over the body to deceive the children of Israel. That's my theory as to why they would have fought over the body. So this poem, in its very strong messianic flavor, is God's, what I thought was original, but apparently it's not, God's GPS, God's positioning system. Yeah, sat here and that came to mind, and I thought, wow, that's really original. Then I found out, nope, there's a lot of people that have figured that one out. God's positioning system is right there at the very beginning. That's why I call this position. As I was reading it to myself and over my family the other day, I began to realize that everything that follows, all the promises of protection, all of the interaction, all everything was based upon where you were, meaning what position were you in. And we know from the beginning it's you're right next to him. You're in the shadow of his wings. But this psalm has four main sections. It is a confession of confidence in the Lord. That's verses 1 and 2. Verses 3 through 8 are the assurance that those who trust in the Lord need not fear evil. Verses 9 through 13 are promises of God's protection, and as I said, verses 14 through 16 are a description of that protection by God himself. The key to the entire psalm is nearness to God. And when you are near to him, you are in a position to overcome the dangers of living in this fallen world. And it's not just this psalm. It's scriptures throughout the Bible, old and new, that encourage us to draw near to Him. Psalm 27:5, in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. When you're on a high rock, and we know who the rock is, capital R, not the wrestler, no, we're talking about the Lord. When He set you on that rock, you're higher than the flood, you're higher than the snakes, you're higher than the predators, you are above it all. Psalm 31:20 says basically the same thing. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. The person who trusts in God is the one who lives every day, every moment close to Him. And when we say He's the Most High, we are emphasizing His majesty. It's also Almighty. It's also Shaddai. I mean, we look at the term Shaddai. It takes the Most High, and it speaks of Him as a mountain-like, majestic presence. And in that presence is a secret place. It's a shadow where the enemy can't see you and the world can't touch you. If we say, my refuge and my fortress, we could simply rephrase it and say, my secure fortress. I mean, you want an alarm system? You want a security system? It's Him, and it's in your relationship to Him. And I can almost guarantee 99.9% that when the enemy gets in, it's because you have wandered away. You are somewhere where you shouldn't be. When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you shall abide, take permanent residence under the shadow of the Almighty. That word dwells in the Hebrew, yashab, means to sit down, to dwell, to remain, to settle, in the sense of taking up homestead or staking out a claim and resisting all claim jumpers, to possess a place and live therein. To dwell, sit, abide, inhabit, remain. That word, yashab, occurs 1,100 times throughout the Old Testament. I mean, think about it. That one word used over and over, to dwell, to be an inhabitant, to sit, to abide, and you know that word abide comes up a lot even in the New Testament, takes permanent residence, inhabit, to remain, to tarry, to set, to continue, to place, to still, to be taken. Dwelling and abiding is the same concept reinforced for divine emphasis and confirmation. And here's what I have found in all the years of doing ministry. In a couple of weeks, it'll be 28 years that I've been saved, and the majority of that time has been in ministry. Is that when people are unsettled, when they are in problems, when they are stressed, fearful, when the enemy has gotten into their mind, into their life, into their marriage, it is a positioning problem. Your GPS, your God positioning system has been turned off. And that, my friends, is a problem. The problem is you're not where you need to be. You know, if you look at Genesis 4:16, and it talks about the presence of the Lord. You know, Adam and Eve came into His presence. Cain went out of His presence, and we know how that worked out for Cain. Meanings to dwell. And how did Adam and Eve get into trouble? When they got in the presence of the serpent. When that serpent came slithering in and began to speak, they should have said, shut up. Get your scaly butt out of here. But no, they let it settle in and they settled down with it and they listened. Genesis 22:5, Abraham said to the young man, "Stay, abide here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Abide, take a position. Lamentations 5:19, "You, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation." Same Hebrew word, Jashab. Isaiah 65:21, the promise of restoration from captivity was, "And they shall build houses and inhabit," Yashab, them. It is combined of other words to form expressions in common usage. Example, when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, carries the meaning of when he begins to reign. To sit at the gate means to hold court or to decide a case, same word. Well, when you hold court, when you begin to reign with him and sit with him, the enemy's not going to come near you. I'm going to tell you this right now. When your GPS is working, when you are where you are supposed to be, the enemy's just going to wait for you to leave that position and to go where you're not supposed to be. But he will not come into the presence of the Most High God. I know that there's a scripture in the Old Testament in Job where it says that Satan came and presented him with the sons of God, but I believe that he did that from the edge of the heavens. I do not believe that he was up near the throne. I do not believe that once having been kicked out, once having had his name banished and be given the name the adversary, he gets access to the throne of God. I do not. When it says he shall sit and judge all the heathen in Joel 3:12, it's a promise of end time judgment. To sit in the dust or to sit on the ground, Isaiah 47:1, is a sign of humiliation and grief. Where are you sitting right now? What position are you in? I mean, if we were in a room together, which would be great, or if I was in town or whatever, we were doing a seminar or a meeting, and if you've been in one, you know that I will just stop, and I will talk, and I will ask questions, and I will get you to interact, and I will put you on the spot. Where are you positioned right now? Don't give me some theological, super spiritual answer. Let's get real. Let's strip it away. Let's stop the religious nonsense and the foolishness that is pervasive in the body right now. And let's get real. Where are you? You have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom? Well, then you're out of position. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, you're going to get knocked off your feet. 1 Kings 22:19. Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left." That word, Yeshab, he was sitting, he was abiding, he was in place. When a king is in place on his throne, watch out. He sits in the heavens and laughs. Psalm 2:4. He sits upon his throne in holiness. Psalm 47:8. He is the exalted ruler over the universe. Your Lord, your Savior, your Messiah, your King of kings and Lord of lords, the one whom you love, is the ruler of the universe. He's the one who spoke it into existence. Understand your position. When you are near to him, when you're sitting so close to him, you're in his shadow. Nothing can touch you. Why would you want to be anywhere else? Psalm 132:14. "This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it." It was David wanting to build a house for God, and even though he let Solomon do it, the truth was he didn't need that. And here we are now. We don't need that. I just told you that I had probably one of the most powerful, intimate, presence of the Holy Spirit here in this studio this day. I didn't need to be anywhere else. I didn't need to be in a building called the church. I had fellowship. When two or more gather, and since Larry and I gathered electronically, the Lord showed up, the Spirit showed up. We began to pray, we began to praise. I blew the shofar, and yes, I know, I owe you that. And the presence of the Lord was like waves. It was like I was standing on a beach, and I was catching the crashing spray of the Holy Spirit. It was wonderful. I was in his presence. And folks, I don't ever want to leave that. He dwells between the cherubim. He resides, he abides between the cherubim, the Ark of the Covenant. I could take off right now. If I go quiet, it's because I left. No seatbelt. I'm gone. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not about being in a building. That's not just about David talking about the temple. The house of the Lord is that secret place, that hidden place, that shadow of his wings. One thing I have desired, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27:4. I've been in buildings that momentarily have been anointed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then shortly thereafter they go back to just being a building. But then I've learned that I am the temple of the living God, and that that Spirit resides in me. And whenever I am in right position, in the shadow of his wings, I am fulfilling that scripture. The sacred place, the sanctuary, is wherever I am, and he's with me. It's been in a car, it's been in an airport, but it's even been in the bathroom or the shower. It's been anywhere he wants to show up in fellowship with me. That is a sanctuary. That is a sacred place. I love it outside, whether it's in the stars, under the stars, or in the sunshine of the pool or the waves or the beach. I especially love having my toes in the sand and my hands towards the heavens and praising him. Oh, yes, I would love to go to Israel, but I don't need to go to Israel. I can have what's there anywhere I am because he's in me and he's with me. That secret place is a covering, it's a hiding place. I already read Psalm 31:20 about the secret pavilion. That indicates intimacy and friendship. That represents family relationship. We would say familiarity, but it's like a child that wants to cuddle close to dad. I've got a 10-month-old Rottweiler that loves to climb in my lap and wants to be snuggled and wants to be held and wants to just lean back and crush me and just be close and to know that he's safe and to know that I'm there. Why should we be any different with our Heavenly Father? And when we are under his protection, when we are in his shelter, the enemy and the fallen have no power over us. Larry described it today because I shared with him what I was talking about, how it's like being outside in a hailstorm and you have no covering, and then suddenly you see this shed, and even though it doesn't look like anything, you run into that shed and you have shelter, you have safety, and while the hailstorms are falling and damaging everything, they're not touching you. Well, the arrows and the hailstorms of the enemy, which you are allowing to pound on you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even physically, are because you are not where you need to be. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Well, if I'm at his right hand, I'm in the hidden shadows of his wings. I'm in that protective secret place. That word presence in the Hebrew, panaim, also means face, also means countenance. In Genesis 3:8, when they hid themselves from the Lord walking in the garden, they were hiding themselves from his countenance. They didn't want to be seen. They didn't want to be in his presence. Well, if you don't want to be in his presence, then I have to ask you why. What do you need to repent of? Oh, I know you, the super grace teachers, and all those people will tell you you don't need to repent of anything. The cross has covered everything. Well, I don't know what book they read. It doesn't match the one I read. Yes, he has covered the sins of the world. He has restored us to the Father. But Paul and James and John and Peter constantly talk about living a life of righteousness, and when it becomes unrighteous, to repent. The shadow of the Almighty is the secret place of the Most High. It's a place of defense. It's a place of protection. It's a place where you're safe. When I used to do security for celebrities and executives in the entertainment industry, I always kept them within my shadow. A place where I can cover them. A place where I could get to the threat before it got to them. One famous director in particular is very tiny. And when we arrived at the job, he was a little unsure of how we were going to do this. And I simply said, well, if you stand behind me, nobody will see you and we'll walk right in. And it broke the ice and it made him laugh, but I was only half joking because he was that tiny. But that's what we're talking about. It's to trust in the Lord and find your protection in him. But it's a place of relationship. It's not like I did with that director. It's not a paid job. It's not professional security. It's a place of a father and a child. Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. It's like a parent holding the child so close that they're face to face, eye to eye. The hand is covering their head. They're shielding them from whatever that threat may be. Psalm 57:1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Psalm 63:7, because you've been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. And the visual over and over is like a mother hen that protects her young, or any bird that drapes their wing over their child. And we know it's the messianic desire of the Lord to do that. Matthew 23:37, when Yeshua was approaching Jerusalem on what has become known as Palm Sunday, he began to lament in a voice so loud it quieted the thousands upon thousands of people. And he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. C.H. Spurgeon, in a sermon preached in 1894, said this: this is not and could not be the language of a mere man. It would be utterly absurd for any man to say that he would have gathered the inhabitants of a city together, quote, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Besides, the language implies that for many centuries, by the sending of the prophets and by many other warnings, God would have often gathered the children of Jerusalem together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Such care leads to responses of confidence and trust. This verse shows also that the ruin of men lies with themselves. Messiah puts it very plainly, I would, but you were not willing. How often would I have gathered your children together and you were not willing? This is the truth of God about which I hope we have never had any question. We hold tenaciously that salvation is all of grace, but we also believe with equal firmness that the ruin of man is entirely the result of his own sin. It is the will of God that saves. It is the will of men that damns. Jerusalem stands and is preserved by the grace and favor of the Most High. But Jerusalem is burnt and her stones are cast down through the transgression and iniquity of men who provoked the justice of God. Powerful words preached in 1894 apply to today. America is the way she is because we have spurned the protective covering and the promises of the living God to live the way that we want according to the laws of men, killing 58 million babies since 1973, breaking his laws and his rules every day, and we wonder why we're under attack. We wonder why he has withdrawn his covering and his favor. It's with tenderness and affection and grace, intimacy, that he desires to cover us with the feathers and the shadow of his wings. It's not only the natural instinct of that mother bird, that mother hen that protects them, but it's a call to them of protection when they see danger. They want to be there. They know that it will not only keep them safe, but it will keep them warm, and they will feel cherished. Do you feel alone? Then I will say to you, it's because you are nowhere near him. You have found a place of pity. You have found a place wherever you have set yourself, and you need to get back to him. You need to put aside the religion. You need to put aside all the nonsense that you've been taught from men that do not line up with the word. I believe in sin. I believe you have to repent. I believe you have to be in right relationship. I believe you must be born again. But the traditions of men will do nothing for you. But when you are in right relationship with him, when you stay that close to him, you don't want to sin. You don't want to do those other things. Because his love is so great and his grace is so amazing. Why would you want to? I learned this after I got born again and filled with the Spirit, and he gave my family back. And as long as I stayed in his presence, as long as I shunned the temptations of the world and stopped listening to what men had to say and listened to what the Spirit had to say, when men were saying things that didn't line up with the word. Even now in ministry, almost 28 years, I have never wandered off the path, but I've wandered a little too close to the edge by listening to the words of people. That is always the danger of coming out of the shadow of his wings and thinking, it's okay, I can come out now. Why would you want to? He's willing to guard you. He's willing to protect you. He's willing to comfort you. Excuse me. He's willing for sustained intimacy. These are not just any wings I'm talking about. These are the wings of the Most High. Even in speaking about the Messiah himself would desire this. You look at the messianic prophecies of Isaiah 49:2. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft in the quiver he has hidden me. Even the Messiah was hidden in the shadows. Even the Messiah was covered until the time was needed for him to be uncovered. All throughout the threats of his youth and the desires for men and fallen angels to kill him, the promise of perfect peace was his. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, "You will keep him, or her, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength." Perfect peace, his mind stayed on me. That's what he's saying. Peace and trust come from where your mind is and where are you. Perfect peace means harmony, quietness, confidence. And of course, we know that is the benefit, the byproduct of being a new creation, of being born again. Because he is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall call, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." There can be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. When I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I'm praying for the return of the King. I'm praying for the return of Messiah. I'm praying for Jerusalem to accept HaMashiach and be complete. And then there will be peace. There'll be no peace in this world until Israel does that. And that's why he has to take his children out during that moment of the great tribulation. The promise for all men, for all women, for all children who meet the condition of keeping their minds stayed on God, trusting him at all times and in all things and in all places, is peace, and it's Psalm 91. It's where we've been this time, and we may be here for a while because I've only got through the first couple of scriptures. And guess what? For the wicked, for those that are not his, it is just the opposite. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Well, why would there be? Hasatan doesn't bring peace. He doesn't even want to give you peace. He wants to deceive you into moments of silence, but that's all he's doing. He doesn't bring peace. He's a liar. He's a manipulator. He's a thief. There's no good in him. There's no light in him. There's no peace in his offerings. Yah, the self-existent, eternal Jehovah. That's where peace is, and peace is in his Son, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 12:2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He's also become my salvation." To trust means to commit yourself fully to. "Well, I trust the Lord, but..." The minute you say "but," I know you don't trust the Lord. You are not fully committed to that concept. Psalm 83:18, "That they may know that you," capital Y, "you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Jehovah, the Rock of Ages, the Undefeatable One, the Eternal Strong One." That's whose shadow you hide in. And we have been given a gospel covenant according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. And that covenant that he made with the house of Judah, I believe that's his father's house, the house of Judah. That's the covenant we've been grafted into, those of us that are not of Jewish blood. Those of us that are, were born into that covenant, but whether you are adopted into the family or born into the family, you have the same rights you have the same family relationship with the Father. Hebrews 8, starting with verse 8, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." Well, the reason he doesn't remember them, because they're under the blood. And if they're under the blood of the Lamb, the unblemished blood of the Lamb, he can't see them. They're gone. Verse 13, "And in that," he says, "a new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." People, glorious things are here for us, even in this fallen world, even in the storms, even in all those things, as long as we watch our position. Those who live a life, this is the truth of Psalm 91. Those who live a life of communion with God, with the Father, with the Most High, are constantly safe and under his protection. And therefore, they reside in a holy peace, a holy serenity, a holy security of mind at all times. And the mind that we have is the mind of Messiah, a mind of peace, a mind of self-control and no fear. And that's why Paul exhorted the Romans in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, transfigured, supernaturally changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, the only place that can be done is your position next to him in the shadow of his wings. Titus 3:5, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which comes from being born again." Colossians 3:10, "And having put on the new man, who was renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Ephesians 4:23, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I will submit to you that if you have wandered off from that shadow, if you've wandered off from that hiding place, that pavilion, that crook of his arm under his wings, it's because you've been enticed to through your mind. Instead of being molded by the values and the cares of this world, we should be transformed. We should be transfigured. We should have a supernatural change. And that's the renewing of our mind, a spiritual transformation that starts in the mind and the heart that confesses him as Lord. A mind dedicated to this world and to the cares of this world and to selfish desires will produce a life like that ship tossed by the wind back and forth through the currents of culture and cultural manipulation and society, which means you're nowhere near him. A mind dedicated to him, to his truth, to his word, will produce a life that will stand the test of time. And we will be able to resist the temptations of this culture and those that manipulate the culture and those that pull the strings. We'll be able to resist the puppet masters of the world by meditating on His Word, meditating on that truth, and letting the Spirit guide us. Not the human spirit, not the religious spirit, not your soulish spirit, but the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Let Him shape our thoughts and our behaviors. Redeemed, renewed minds are set on Him. They don't want to think about anything else. They don't want to talk about anything else. I get it. You have to go to jobs. You have to take care of families and do all the things of this world. But even in the midst of doing that, you can have your mind set on Him. You want perfect peace? Then be near Him. Isaiah 55, 6 and 8. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. And we should agree with that, because in Psalm 92:5 it says, O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. The war for your mind. The minute you wander off, the minute the internet, social media, this world, your own desires take you to a place you know you shouldn't be going, there should be this little GPS system in you that goes off and says you're lost, you've wandered away from the shadow of His wings. Jeremiah 29:13 and 14, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places I've driven you, says the Lord. And I'll bring you to a place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. And you know He's talking to Israel. But He's talking to all of us. When you search for Him with your whole heart, you'll find Him. James 4, 7 through 10, familiar scriptures. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Why would you need to cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, lament, mourn, and weep? Because if He's saying draw near to God, it means you've wandered off. And this world has stained you and dirtied you and muddied you. Come back. Come back. We have a high priest who understands, that assures us through our heart that has been sprinkled by the blood and by the Spirit. He has changed us. He has transformed us. He has renewed us. He has paid a price for us we couldn't pay. And in Psalm 91, in the secret place of the Most High, is home. It's a place of rest. It's a place to settle down. It's a place to abide. It comes down to, where are you? Right now, GPS, God positioning system, where are you? I say to you, get near to Him in the shadow of His wings. Position yourself there. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, the name above all names. Draw your children back. Draw them back into the right position. Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak to people and say what they need to hear. Reveal what needs to be revealed. Touch what needs to be touched. Heal what needs to be healed. Change, deliver, transform, renew. We reach out in the Spirit to all those that are sick and hurt. And Father, in the name of Yeshua, glorify yourself through them. Let not any man participate in the miracle, so that you get all the glory. Restore, direct. Again, I say to you, where are you? Come home. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall. Talk Radio.